broadcasting life and truth around the world. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. If you would like to ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And do remember that you can also contact us via the mail, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, many of you are aware of the fact that we have just concluded a four-day Bible Answer Man broadcast series on the subject of fasting with my good friend Jay Richards. His book, Eat, Fast, Feast, A Christian Guide to Intermittent Fasting, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul. We spent 4 days on this because of the transcendent importance of treating both the physical and the metaphysical aspect of our humanity in the way that God calls us to. Christian fasting is always voluntary. It's controlled. It's limited in time. And if you do it properly, it can become a habit for life. Keep at it. It will become a part of who you are. It will become virtuous. And the discipline you gain over food and eating can spill over into the rest of your life. Fasting will give you strength against sin. It will repel temptation. It will humble pride. It will cool and assuage your anger. We can shape the state of our soul by what we do with our body, because we aren't just bodies. We aren't just souls. We are unities of body and soul. And what affects the body affects the soul, and, of course, the other way around. So if you're properly disposed, if you're not like a Pharisee whom Jesus took pains to criticize, then bodily sacrificing and suffering will help us make, will help make you more and more like Jesus Christ. And that, of course, is one of the main purposes of fasting. Again, the book available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Because we were in the middle of this series, we didn't do justice, I would say, to Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which was just 2 days ago on Monday. And of course, Martin Luther King Jr. was motivated by the very teachings of Jesus Christ, and the teachings there are encapsulated in the Holy Bible. But there are so many others like Martin King who in many ways motivated people to stop the scourge of slavery. I just watched a movie titled Harriet. It's the story of Harriet Tubman. After she escaped slavery, she risked her very life to help slaves escape to the North via what was known as the Underground Railroad. This was a network of safe places, of churches and houses for hiding the slaves on their way to the North. And I was so moved by her final words, words in which Harriet extolled Jesus Christ and his church for giving refuge to oppressed slaves. Give my life, give my love, she said to the church, to churches. Because as Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and where I am, ye may be also. Harriet lauded Jesus as the way to genuine freedom, not only in this world, but in the world that is to come. I think of so many others. William Wilberforce, of course, ought to come to all of our minds when we talk about the subject of slavery. He converted to Christianity in the 1780s. By the way, that was 75 years prior to the Civil War. What happened? Well, what happened is he began reading the Bible, and in doing so became convinced that slavery was an evil, was an abomination. And as such, he dedicated the remainder of his life to ending the slave trade in the British Empire and indeed around the world. In his epic book, Real Christianity, Wilberforce argued that it was impossible to confess the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ without fighting to abolish slavery. Even now, I think of Elijah Lovejoy. He was a newspaper editor as well as a pastor, and he used his pastorate as well as the power of his pen to declare slavery a sin. Back on November 7, 1837, that was 183 years ago. On that day, etched in our memories, a pro-slavery mob destroyed Lovejoy's printing press and shot him to death. Not long before he was murdered, Lovejoy wrote the prescient words, "I can die at my post, but I cannot desert my post. I cannot desert my calling." If you happen to think that the battle against slavery is over, well, think again. Slavery may have been formally abolished in the U.S. in 1865, but it still thrives in many forms in many places around the world, not the least of which is the Sudan. That's the largest country on the continent of Africa. And not only so, human trafficking is a global blight in which 40 million plus people suffer the indignities of modern day slavery. Think about it, some 1.2 million children are sold into this form of exploitation and slavery every single year, and the numbers continue to increase. Even as I talk about this, I think of how the earliest Christians were slaves, and that includes Onesimus, who St. Paul characterizes as a dear son. Paul says to Philemon, "If you consider me a partner, welcome Onesimus. Welcome him just as you would welcome me, no longer as a slave, but welcome him as a dear brother." Why? Because we know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for the lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and the sinful, the unholy and the irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for adulterers, for perverts. And now, the point that I was trying to get to, Paul says, for slave traitors and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms us to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which he has entrusted to us. You see what Paul is doing? He's putting slave trading in the sinful category of a liar, of an adulterer, of a perjurer, of a pervert. The evil of slavery is not just something that we remember momentarily a couple of days ago on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, but something that ought to be in our minds, because the oppression of people created in the Imago Dei, in the image and likeness of God, is an ongoing oppression. And you and I as Christians must do what our forefathers and mothers did, stand against its horrific evil. Coming up to station break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, 888-ASK-HANK. Be right back.
The book Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul is a true gift to Christians eager to grow spiritually as they get healthier physically. J.W. Richards has put together a six-week plan to promote healing the whole of you so that you can make 2020 one of your best years ever, physically, mentally, and most of all, spiritually. To receive your copy of Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Because questions remain about the earliest moments of the universe, scientists offer speculative alternatives to our universe having an actual beginning. Nevertheless, the science that is known to be true provides abundant evidence that the universe came into being a finite time ago, just as the Bible teaches. Other topics include how Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers, Christian apologetics in a nutshell, John Chrysostom, the Golden Mouth Preacher, Christian imagination and the problem of horrendous evil, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Like millions concerned about their health, Hank Hanegraaff had never really known which diet plan to trust. But he's found the secret to healing the whole of you, body, soul, and spirit. Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul by J.W. Richards reveals that God is interested in more than just our physical health. He's interested in healing the whole of us. Eat, Fast, Feast outlines a plan found in the ancient Christian practice of intermittent fasting that can help you experience deeper life in Christ. To receive Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, simply visit equip.org. That's equip.org. And make a gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
Thank you.
let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and let's go to our phone callers. First up is Sarah in this segment in Salinas, California, listening on the web. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Hi.
Your question.
Hello?
Your question.
Yes. I have had a person in my life that for years I could not figure out whether I was crazy or that person was crazy. For years I figured, I think I have a covert narcissist, but this person is a Christian. Are those things, do you see that can be, have you seen that narcissists or covert narcissists be Christians?
Well, you're asking a very good question, because think about the definition of a narcissist. By definition, this is a person who is utterly and completely preoccupied with him or herself. Well, can that kind of a person be a Christian? Well, think about what Christ calls us to. He calls us to deny ourselves. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, if anyone would follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and then come after me. So a Christian, by definition, becomes part of the body of Christ. When you're baptized, you're buried to that old life, that narcissistic life. You're raised to newness of life through his resurrection power, and you become part of the body of Christ. And just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so the body of Christ is one, and we become one with that body, and as oneness with that body is enhanced over the years, our preoccupation comes not for ourselves, but for the body, because it is the body of Christ himself.
Okay. And I understand all of that. I guess what brings me and makes me wonder if there is a chance that they could be a Christian is because, I mean, like everything I've read trying to help this person, it seems as though it starts from childhood and it's something that happens to them and it's so ingrained in them that they're incapable of, and I understand God can heal anything just like he can heal cancer, but it appears to me as it would be as much of a miracle to heal a person from this behavior as it would cancer.
Well, yes, it is miraculous.
It's so impossible. So, because I've just dealt with it for so long, and I just keep thinking, there's no way this person's ever going to change apart from a miracle, even though they are clearly, I mean, you know, I am just confused.
Yeah, well, I think we do pray for miracles. We pray for the miracle of healing of cancer, but we also pray for miracles with regard to people who have socio-psychological problems. So it is a miracle, but guess what? We are the hands and feet of Christ in that very circumstance. And I oftentimes think about this with respect to what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12. He talks about how we are to treat other people that have problems, not only in this area, but many other areas as well. So Paul says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud. Be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited. And don't repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And then, of course, he goes on to talk about do not take revenge. But we're called to hate what is evil, to cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honor one another above ourselves, never be lacking in zeal. Keep spiritual fervor going. And be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And that includes the prayer for those people who are suffering the afflictions of sin and bondage and addiction, and even those who suffer from physical maladies.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Susan in Victorville, California. Hi, Susan.
Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I had something that I came across recently that was different from anything I've ever heard before. The story of Jacob marrying Leah first because he worked for Rachel, but the father-in-law tricked him into marrying Leah first and then made him work another 7 years for Rachel. I'm reading and understanding that there was only a week where Jacob was with Leah before he married Rachel, and he worked for Rachel after he married her.
Well, I think the biblical text is fairly clear in this regard. You know, the word week is actually used in the text, as I recall, to fulfill a week, and I will give you this one also, speaking of Rachel. The context here renders the week to be another full 7 years. And the context also talks about the fact that Jacob did so, and that 7 years appeared to him as to be just a week because of his great love for Rachel.
Oh, well, after I read it, then I looked up a commentary, and Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown said it was a ceremonial week. It was the wedding week that he wanted him to stay with her.
Well,
that he could marry Rachel.
That's another way of looking at it, because 1 week in that paradigm equals 7 years, and thus each week is actually equated biblically to Daniel's prophecy with respect to the years. You know, there are also weeks are talked about, and those weeks are in actuality years.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Lonnie in San Antonio, Texas. Hi, Lonnie.
Hi.
Your question. I don't know. I think I'm losing Lonnie. Maybe we'll talk to you another time. Harlan in Durham, North Carolina, listening on the web. Hi, Harlan.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I'm involved in an online discussion with an atheist who disputes the reliability of the Bible. And one of the things he said recently was that you can't rely on the books that are in the New Testament. He said a Greek Orthodox Christian told him that the Greek Orthodox churches do not read or use the book of Revelation, and that neither Calvin nor Luther fully accepted the book of Revelation. What's the situation with this?
Well, it's simply untrue. You know, if you think about how we got the 27 books of the Bible, they were codified as the New Testament canon in 367 by St. Athanasius the Great. And all Greek Orthodox, so laud St. Athanasius the Great. In fact, we had a special liturgy just last week for St. Athanasius. So he codified the 27 books of the Bible. Now, it is true that in the early church, there were many different books that circulated through the church, but the church eventually acknowledged the 27 books that are now part of the New Testament canon. That was formally codified, as I said, in 367. It didn't become replete in the churches until many years later, in many cases, because the churches were far flung. The Orthodox do accept the book of Revelation. And by the way, Luther did at one time say that the book of James, as an example, was an epistle of straw, but he did include it in his German translation of the Bible, or his translation of the Bible into the German language. So Revelation is part of the canon. Because Revelation was very difficult to understand by many people, as we see even in today's context, oftentimes it is relegated to sort of a substandard way of thinking. But I think the problem is that many people haven't recognized that the code breaker to reading the book of Revelation is understanding the Old Testament, because much of what you read in the Old Testament in the book of Revelation comes from the Old Testament. But St. Athanasius did include Revelation in the canon. To this day, the Orthodox may not publicly read from Revelation in the liturgy, but that does not mean that they do not accept the book of Revelation. Of course, they do. You can find it in Orthodox Bibles and study Bibles. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be right back here tomorrow, Lord willing, with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org, or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.